the beginning of a new series of Shiurim. So I don't think this series will take us the entire year, but at least a couple of weeks of the year. Those are some of the figures related to Geirus. It's a very timely topic, somewhat even controversial topics in today's world. Let's try to get a little bit of a background to some of the sugyas in the Gemara, the Rishon, the Shulchan Aruch, about the Geirus per se. So any sugya of Geirus has to begin with the first Maimakomos on Maseches Krisus, Nav Kesem, and Aleph, where the Gemara spells out just what exactly is the process of Geirus. How is it that a person starts out as a non-Jew, becomes transformed to attain Kedushas Yisrael? So one thing the Gemara says is clear. Everybody accepts the premise that the notion of Geirus that we have, that we practice, is Manazah, is in a sense a throwback to the original Geirus. It was the first Geirus that took place in the history of the world. That was the Geirus of all of Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael entered into the Bris, and they came to our Sinai, or the Yetzias Mitzrayim / our Sinai experiences. We'll see as we go on precisely which moment the Geirus of Klal Yisrael took place. But there was a form of a Geirus that Klal Yisrael left the status of being B'nai Noach, to a certain extent, and entered into the status of having Kedushas Yisrael. We spoke about it in the past, different shiur, different contexts, as Machlekes that we've shown him, Rabban and Chumash quotes Machlekes that he had with the Bali Atosis, what exactly was the status of Avisein, and what exactly was the status of the others prior to Matan Torah? Did they have the halachic status of B'nai Noach, or did they have a certain degree of Kedushas Yisrael? But even according to the Ramban, who says that they had a certain degree of Kedushas Yisrael, something happened in Har Sinai. There's no question that there was some kind of a transformation in Har Sinai, and the Gemara interprets that to have the halachic status of a Geirus. So if we're looking to Hilchos Geirus today, how do you go about practically being a Geir and not in Jews? You go back to Aviseinu, and just as Aviseinu, just as Klal Yisrael entered into Kedushas Yisrael with the process X, Y, and Z, so too the Geirus, that's going to be the halacha. Anyone who wants to convert is going to have to undergo those processes as well. So what were those processes? So the Gemara spells out three of them. The Gemara Krishna Tess speaks about Bris Mila, the Gemara speaks about Tevila, and the Gemara speaks about bringing a carpet. So hopefully each one of the shiurim that we'll talk about in the next couple of weeks, we'll try to focus a little bit on these three processes. But the first one is Bris. So the Gemara says in the first time of Kamos, how do we know that Klal Yisrael had a Bris at the time of entering into Kedushas Yisrael? Amamar, Mavas Eichel Anichsul, the Bris El V'chulei, Bishlam Amila Dichsiv. So I know that there was a Bris, as it says, Kimulim ayu kol amayotim, the Klai saw they left the Mitzrayim, so they all received the Bris Mila. It's a Pesha Pasuk in Yoshua. Inami Ocho. Or if you want another Pasuk, so we can have the Drasha and the Pasuk in Yechezkel, Vo'evo alayach v'arech misbosesu v'damayach, v'omolach v'damayachi v'damayachi, the famous Pasuk that describes the way Chazal interprets the Pasuk to mean that at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked at Klai Yisrael and he realized that that's Eil the area, that they don't have any mitzvahs. They don't have any merit to leave Mitzrayim. So what merit will they have to leave Mitzrayim? So with the Mayachi, with the Mayachi, the double blood, the Dam of Kavim Pesach and the Dam of Bris Mila. So this pasuk is referring to the Mila B'Shas Yetzias Mitzrayim. So you see clearly that Klal Yisrael underwent a Bris Mila at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Gemara here is interpreting that that Bris Mila was not just for the purpose of the Mitzvah of Mila. If you would have asked me, I would have said, yeah, of course they had to have a Bris Mila, because they were supposed to be having Bris Mila since the days of Amravino. The fact that they were negligent in this mitzvah, so they had to repair that problem, they had to correct that problem. So what does it have to do with a Geirus? So the Gemara doesn't interpret the Pesukim that way. The Gemara interprets that the historical event of the Bris Mila that took place at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, based on the Pesukim in Yehoshua and the Pesukim in Yechezkel, had the status of a Mila L'Shem Geirus, and we derive from here the din of Mila L'Shem Geirus L'Deirus. So notwithstanding the drasha that Mila is an integral part of being Megayel L'Doros, the Gemara presents the Machlokas in the second one of Maimakomos, in Yevamos Nafna Vavam et Alev, Machlokas Atanoim, just how critical is the Mila. So Tanu Rabbanan, here Shemov L'Tavo, so the first half of the Shaila is not relevant for us yet, hopefully we'll talk about this in future weeks. But the Gemara raises the Shaila, what if a Ger has a Bris Mila, but he doesn't have Tevila B'Mikvah? So Rabbi Leza Omer raised a Ger, Shekema Tidim Avaseinu Shemolav Lo Tovlu. So we're not going to focus on that right now. We're going to focus on the second half. Tovlu V'lo Mol. What would that look be if a male comes to convert, and he goes ahead and he has a Tevila, but he doesn't have a Mila? So basically what the Gemara's question is the Ger is going to be kosher, at least to be of it? The fact that he's supposed to do a Mila, that's not a question. We know that. Of course, a person converts is supposed to have a Mila, not just because Mila is one of the Tayag Mitzvahs, but because that's a part of the Chalos of Geirus. So there's no question that the proper protocol for Geirus is to insist on having a Bris Mila. That's the Gemara increase on Daptes. But the Gemara's question in Yevamos Daf Mem Vav is a Ma'akek. Just because it's part of the protocol of Geirus doesn't mean it's necessarily Ma'akeh. If they marshal Mar Davidomer, there's a parsha of Chalitza in the Torah. So the Torah says there are three different parts of the process of Chalitza. There's the Chalitza itself, the removing of the shoe. There's the Rekika, the spitting. And then there's the Kriyas HaParshias, the reading of the different sukkim that the man reads, the woman reads, etc. So which of those three processes are Ma'akeh? So the Gemara says that the Kriyas HaParshias, for sure not Ma'akeh. The Gemara learns out from the Pasuk that you didn't read the psukim, so for sure the woman is muteras for sure, you can for sure get married. If you didn't do the rekika, if you didn't do the spitting, that's the machlekes atanoim, whether it's ma'akev, and we pass it, even that's not ma'akev. The only part that's ma'akev is the chalitza itself, is the actual taking off of the shoe. So you have a similar idea that the Torah presents to us the proper protocol for doing a chalitza, but it's not always legal, but not every part is ma'akev. So you have machlekes atanoim, which is not. The same is true when it comes to Geirus. Everyone agrees that Minat Torah you have to do Milan, Tevilan, Karban, and all the things that are derived from Aviseinu. That's the Gemara Krisus and Daftes. But we're still open for debate amongst the Tanoim is that is necessarily each part of this process Ma'akev. So why should you say it's Ma'akev? Or why should you insist it's not Ma'akev? So that was the Machlek, is the Tim Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So comes the Gemara, continues in Yevamos, and says, Tavo v'lo mo'. If a ger went to the mikveh but didn't do the milah, Rabbi Yeshua Amar is a ger. Rabbi Yeshua says the diavad he would be converted, he would stop kedushas Yisrael. Shekeim atzina b'imol shetavov lo malu, because we find that by the original gerus, so the women obviously converted through tefillah alone. Obviously, it's absurd to speak about a milah for a woman. So since the woman clearly was able to enter into kedushas Yisrael with tefillah alone, says Rabbi Yeshua, it's inconceivable that there should be different standards of entering into kedushas Yisrael. Obviously, when the Torah is mechayev the male ger to have a milah, that must be only a lechatchila. But on the level of b'di'evad, either tefillah does the trick or doesn't do the trick. If tefillah does the trick, if tefillah is the machlis for the vishis Yisrael for women, then by definition it has to be for men as well. So the fact that there's a mitzvah milah, yeah, there's a din of milah shem geirus, that's true lechatchila. But b'di'evad, it's not going to be ma'akir. That's Rabbi Yeshua's argument, and the chachamim disagree. The Chachamim say the Chachamim Tavol Lamal Mavol Tavol Ein Gerashim Of Yitzvah. That no, that if the prospective man who comes to convert only goes to the mikveh and does not have a milah, the diavad is not considered to be Jewish. That the milah is ma'akev from the diavad. What about Rabbi Eliezer? What about Rabbi Yeshua's argument that we should derive from the imahos, from the females who converted? So the Gemara discusses whether that's really a good proof or not. That runs into a question whether don an efshar mishi efshar. The Gemara says that just because the women were able to be nichnas tachas kanteh shechita, the women were able to attain kedushas Yisrael without a milah, that's because it wasn't shayach for them. It's not physically possible for them to have a milah. Mashenke, the male who has the ability to have a milah, how can you derive a male from a female? Maybe a woman's standards of geirus are different. A woman converts with tefillah alone, but a man who has the physical ability to do milah requires milah even liikuva. That's the root of the machlokes. That's the machlokes that Tanoim in Yevamos Daf Mem Vav. How do we pass it mahalocha and the shayla? So the Gemara says in the third of the Mamakamas, in Yevamos Mavav and Vadeis, Amar B'chib Rav Rav Yechanan, La'olam in Oger Hashim of Yitzvot. So we pass it mahalocha, the Amaroyim pass it like the Chacham against the Yeshua. So we pass it, that's absolutely critical to have a Mila and a Tevila. A person converts and just goes to the mikvah, didn't have a bris Mila, so it's not pshat or mavat or mitzvah, it's not pshat that it's not a chetchila, it's not mishma akib and diyevid, they're not considered to be Jewish at all. That's what we pass in the halacha.
So
we can get to that. Well, what do you do with a person who tachlis can't have a bris mila? We'll talk about that in a little while. We'll see. That's a questionable svar. We'll get to that as we go on. So comes the Gemara and says, Pshita, the Gemara says, of course we don't accept Rabbi Yeshua. Yochid Rabbi Lacharabim, Rabbi Yeshua was a das Yochid, and the Chachamim disagreed with him. So what do you need Rabbi Yochanan to tell me that? Yochid Rabbi Lacharabim, we don't know that. We didn't know that until the days of Rabbi Yochanan. So comes the Gemara and says, now, I would have thought, Ban Chachamim Rabbi Yossi, when the Braisa earlier on in Mevavah Min Aleph quotes the opinion of the Chachamim, so the Chachamim wasn't necessarily indicative of most of the Chachamim. Maybe the Chachamim happens to be one particular Tana, one particular group of Tana, and we're following Rabbi Yossi, because we know for a fact that Rabbi Yossi happens to hold that Mila is critical. How do we know that Rabbi Yossi holds Mila is critical? Because there was a Machwekes HaTanoim, Desan Yerishimava Amma Malti Vlo Tevalti. If a person comes, a non-Jew comes to us and he says, yeah, he had a milah ready, it's okay. He did a milah for medical reasons, other reasons, it wasn't l'shem geirus. So, Rabbi Yehuda says, good, so be tevel him and finish. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yehuda was the next generation, was after Rabbi Yeshua, but Rabbi Yehuda held like Rabbi Yeshua, it's two generations later, Rabbi Yehuda held like Rabbi Yeshua, that the only thing that's really critical is the tefillah. The milah really is not so important. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't care whether he had a milah l'shem mitzvah, l'shem geirus, l'shem medicine, doesn't matter. Rabbi Yehuda says, just be tefillah, because the only thing that's really ma'akev in the geirus is the tefillah. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you can't just stop be tefillah. You got to give him a milah. Or if he had a milah ready, you got to figure out what to do with him. If you're stopped to be tefillah, that's not acceptable. So we know, and we have on record, that Rabbi Yossi is the Tana who says that milah is a critical component to geirus. It's not even in b'diavad. So I would have thought that maybe that when the Chachamim said that eno geir shimo v'yitbal, maybe that was only Rabbi Yossi speaking, maybe it's not indicative that all the other Tanaim held their way. So comes Rabbi Yochanan and says, no, that's the bottom line of halacha. It doesn't matter, we're not counting up Tanaim right now. The bottom line of halacha is that eno geir shimo v'yitbal, and that's nimna v'gomu, that's what we pass in the halacha. Belishim Sufis. That's clearly all the Rishonim quote the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. That's what we pass in Shulchan Aruch, that Mila is absolutely critical, and without Mila, the person is considered to be not Jewish at all. However, the question becomes, even though this is true, that it's clearly no Shaila that Mila is Ma'akev in Geirus, what if you have different situations that arise where the Mila is not practical, it's not feasible, it's not either physically practical, maybe halakhically practical, medically practical? What is that halacha? Is it ever possible to conceive of a geirus taking place in the absence of an actual mila? So the case that the favorite quoted, that's the most complicated of all the cases. Let's start from the simplest case first. So the easiest case that the Rishonim begin to discuss is, what do you have a situation which is the most common shalom is manazeh? A person was already circumcised. You have a non-Jew was born, so he's 2 days old in the hospital, they circumcise him like they do many babies. And now, 20 years later, he decides he wants to convert. So he comes to us and says, okay, I want to convert, I want to be Jewish. So what do we say to him? So, well, obviously he has to go to the mikveh, that's no question. And our initial reaction is, okay, you have to have a bris milah, and you have to go to the mikveh. So he says, I have bris milah, I'm circumcised already. So what are you going to do? There's nothing physically left to do. So is there anything available? Is there anything that has to be done to this individual in place of a bris milah or not? So we have a few different possibilities. Either the answer to that question is yes, that there's something that has to be done to this person in place of a bris milah, and if you don't do it, that's going to invalidate his geirus. Or maybe the answer to that question is that there's nothing to be done. He's like a woman. Once he's already circumcised, there's nothing else to do to him. So then, by default, he goes to the mikveh, but he becomes Jewish with nothing in place of a milah. Or maybe you could suggest a third logical possibility, that he can't convert altogether. That since he can't have a milah, because he already had one, and he's a male, and a male requires a milah, even leikuva, so the guy is tough. There's no option available. He cannot possibly convert. So I didn't say we pass like any one of those three possibilities, but those are the three logical possibilities. So either we have to find some kind of a substitute very quickly for bris milah in order to be yaitzei the din, quote-unquote, of milah for a ger, or we say that, well, we have to search for a substitute. If he can't do the milah, say, don't do the milah. So he's nichtos tatas kanfei shechina, becomes Jewish, like a woman with tefillah alone. Well, maybe we take the third possibility that there's no option, there's no possibility to be the guy of this person, since we cannot practically do a milah on him. So in order to understand what the answer to this question is, which of these possibilities are correct, we have to take a little bit of a step back, and we have to learn a little bit of Hilchos Milah first, in order to understand how this angle of Hilchos Milah is going to affect Hilchos Geirus. There's a general question, leaving out the complicated case of a ger, a simple case of a born Jew. There's a mitzvah milah, we have a shmini milah b'sar loso, there's a mitzvah geraisa bris milah. What do you have a situation where it's not practical to perform this mitzvah? That means it's not practical, it's not possible to perform the mitzvah, because the child is already circumcised. How is he circumcised? He was more circumcised. Well, the man calls a nolad mohol. So what is that halacha? So if a person is born, the child is born without the ora orla. So there's nothing there. So what do you do? What kind of a mitzvah bris milah is there? So first you have to understand what the options available in the regular mitzvah bris milah when there's physically no orla there, and then perhaps we'll be able to extrapolate or maybe differentiate between what do you do any different in a situation of a ger. So the sugya begins on the fourth of the Ma'amikamos, Sugya Masechta Shabbos, and Daf Kuf Lamed Daled Amud Beis. So the context of the Gemara is talking about the Gzeiras HaKosov, that a milah b'yom HaShmini is Bechah Shabbos. So we all know we have a milah b'zman, it's Bechah Shabbos, and Yom Tov, and Tip, and it works, everything. If it's a milah shaloi b'zman, if it's not on the eighth day, then it's not going to be Bechah Shabbos. So the Gemara derives from the Pasuk that this halacha, that a milah on the eighth day is Bechah Shabbos. So it's not always true. There are certain conditions that have to be met in order for the meal to be there for Shabbos. So the Gemara goes through some of the conditions. So on Kuf Lamed Daled Amud Beis, the fourth of the Ma'amikamos, so the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Arloso Vadeh Dechas HaShabbos, Velo Sopik Dechas HaShabbos. Only if we're really, really convinced that this is a bris milah that's taking place, it's a milah bismana, then and only then is it bechus Shabbos. If we have some question about this bris milah, maybe it's not bismana, maybe the baby was born ben hashmashos, so we have all kind of issues, we're not sure whether this is a classic milah bismana, then it would not be bechus Shabbos. And the Gemara continues, Allah Savade bechus Shabbos, Allah Andreginus bechus Shabbos. What if you have a baby that has physical characteristics of both a male and a female, what the Gemara calls an androgynous? There's a difference in halacha between chazal for an androgynous and a tumtum. A tumtum is also a sofik zocha, sofik decay, but for a very different reason. A tumtum is a loshon atum, but that area is closed over. So it means we know for a fact this child is either a zocha or is in a keva. We just have no clue because we haven't been able to surgically remove that skin. But imtum shalom will be able to remove that skin. We'll be able to see what's going on underneath. So then he will either be a vavid zoch or be a vavid in a cave. So right now he's a sofek, but it's a sofek that we could potentially be mavara. And androgynous is a whole different story. And androgynous means that he has physical characteristics of both. So someone who has physical characteristics of both, now halacha treats him like a sofek. That's what machlekes are tanoim, whether it's a sofek or a vavid, a various, a complicated machlekes, what exactly the status of this androgynous is. The Gemara here at least says that the meal of an androgynous would not be deicha Shabbos, and Rabbi Yehuda says no, androgynous deicha Shabbos vanishka. It's fine. So then, the Gemara gives a few more examples, and then we go skip down to the part that's relevant for us. So the Gemara goes in the fourth line. If you have a baby that was born, that he was already, in a sense, physically circumcised, he was born without an ora orla, so now you're going to do something to him, I'm not sure what that something is yet, you're going to do something to him, but whatever you're going to do, whatever that something is, you're not going to do it on Shabbos. So only a bris milah is Becha Shabbos, only to remove the oil is Becha Shabbos, but some other substitute procedure, again, we're not sure what that is yet, would not be Becha Shabbos. What is this substitute procedure? So now the Gemara continues, Beishamai Omrim, Tzorach Lahatip Bimeru Damris, Ubezil Omrim Eno Tzorich. So Beishamai tell us that when you have a baby that's born without a physical oil, so true, there's no oil to remove, but you have to do what's called a Tophis Damris. You have to, this is the first time that we've seen the actual term, of a Tophis Damris appear in the Gemara. That you have to draw a little bit of blood from that area where the oil would have normally been, and that somehow is considered to be the substitute bris milah. So Beishamai says there is such a halacha, Tzorach Latif Damris, and Beishamai says, Eino Tzorach, there never was such a halacha. So what the Gemara seems to be saying is that even though Beishamai holds there is a requirement of a Tophis Damris for the Nolad Mahol, you can't do it on Shabbos. To be Deicha Shabbos, it has to be Orlosa. You only can remove an oil on Shabbos, you can't be Matif Dam on Shabbos. Amr Vishim Ben Elazar, Lo Nechleku B'Shabbos Hil, Amnola Kshumol, Shetzach Lati Ben Adam Bris. So Vishim Ben Elazar disagrees with the formulation of the Machoikis B'Shabbos Hil. Vishim Ben Elazar claims that everybody agrees that there's a din of a Tophis Dam Bris for the Noad Mahol, B'Tnesha Ola Kavushahi. Because either we know that there's some kind of an oil underneath, either we're afraid there's kind of oil underneath, the Machoikis in the Gemara, called oil of Kavusha, that means even though it doesn't appear to us that there is an oil, there is some kind of a halachic oil that's actually there, and therefore you have to do a Tophis Dam Bris to somehow solve that problem, which is a question in of itself. How the world is doing some kind of symbolic drawing of blood, how did that solve the problem of the oil of Kavusha? So again, we're not learning Hilchos Milah right now, that's a big quick question. What exactly that phrase in the Gemara means? But what's important for us is that according to Rav Shimon Elazar, everybody agrees there's a din of a Tophis Dam Bris on the Nolad Mahol, but it's not Becha Shabbos. So where was the Machlokes Bishami and Beis Hillel? Amar Nechleku, continues Rav Shimon Elazar, Al Gersh and his Gaiyak Shumal, which is our Shaila, She Bishami Om Tzorach Lati Ben Adam Bris, or Beis Hillel Om Ein Tzorach Lati Ben Adam Bris. So Adkan Divrei, the Sugi Masech HaShabbos. So it comes out that there's a Machlokes HaTanayim, what the Machlokes HaTanayim was. There was some Machlokes Bishami Sillel, generations before, about this institution of a Tophis Dam Bris. Do you have to have it, or do you not have to have it? So the Tanakhama's understanding of the Machlokes was, they were arguing about the Nolad Mahol, the Jewish baby that's born without an apparent milah. Do you need a Tophis Dam Bris? Is there a requirement to substitute a Tophis Dam Bris, or is there no such requirement? That was the Tanakhama's formulation of the Machlokes. And Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, no, that was not the Machlokes. Everybody agrees there's a din of a Tophis Dam Bris by a baby. The Machlokes is there a din of a Tophis Dam Bris by a ger? That was the Machlokes of Tanoim. So now we walk away from this sugya in Masechta Shabbos, and our initial reaction is that a gersh and his guy Kishumol probably does not require a Tophis Dam Bris, because even Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who was the biggest machim in a Tophis Dam Bris, only required it by a ger according to the Shabbai. The Shilu says ain't so hot as a Dam Bris. So if you just look at the Gemara on Shabbos just alone, you would walk away to the answer to our question, what do you do for the 25-year-old man, non-Jewish man, comes to convert, and he was medically circumcised 25 years ago, what do you do to him? Nothing to him. You send him to the mikvah and finish. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. There's no mila to do, just because there's no orla. Hatavis tamris, we never heard of hatavis tamris. Hatavis tamris is by babies, it's not by grown-ups. There's no such halacha of hatavis tamris, and therefore, he goes to the mikvah just as a woman. That's the simple reading of the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos. So comes Tosus in the 5th of the Mamakamos and quotes the Machloikes HaRishonim, what really is the halacha? Bottom line is what really happens. So comes Tosus in the Mbavam Adays and Yavamas, Dibra Masal Debi Yossi, and quotes from the Baal Lachas Gedolus the following. Quotes the Baal Lachas Gedolus, the Gersh and his Gaia Fishu Mahu, Sorach Lahatif Meredambris, says the Baal Lachas Gedolus, if a non-Jew comes to convert, and he happens to be already physically, he was circumcised, medically circumcised years ago, he requires a tofus dambris. Where did he get it from? We're still not sure. Second half of what the Baal says, the katan shenola kishumol ain't tzarich lahatif, whereas a katan, who is a Jewish child, who was born mohol, there's no need to do a tofus dambris. So, says the Baal, what's the reason? How do you explain that logically? So it's very simple. The timer. The katan never had an orla. So the katan was born physically without an orla. So there was never a din of mila on this person. There was never a din of mila. There was never a din of tavas tamris. Nothing zero. About geisha hoysla orla. This male, this adult, non-Jew, was born with as a regular child. He had an orla 25 years ago when he was first born. Umiloso ain't a mila. And the doctor that circumcised him 25 years ago, that's the circumcision, that's not a mila. So tzorech lahatif dambris, this person requires hatafas dambris. So atkan, divrei baal halachas gedolus. So again, so according to the baal halachas gedolus, what interests us in terms of hilchos geirus is that it's absolutely critical that any male convert must have either a real bris mila, le'ikuva, ma'akeh b'diyevet, and if he can't have it because he doesn't have an oil anymore, he must have hatafas dambris. And the simple reading of the Baal Lachas Gedolus is that's ma'akev, that he's not Jewish, he doesn't have a tavas tamris, so that's kemandolei, so that's as if he didn't have a bris mila. That's a simple pshat in the Baal Lachas Gedolus. Where did the Baal Lachas Gedolus get it from? So he clearly didn't get it from the Gemara in Shabbos, he probably got it from other Gemaras. So Tosfos tries to show you where other Gemaras in the Masechet Yevamos that the Baal Lachas Gedolus may have derived it from. But Akopan, this is the opinion of the Baal Lachas Gedolus. If we skip down a little bit, the next line that tells us. Oh, look at this. We didn't see yet where it came from. We're not sure yet even where this story comes from. So Rabbeinu Chananel Pasek, in the fourth line of the Tosfos, Rabbeinu Chananel Pasek, in the second Shabbat, Rabbeinu Chananel Pasek is the exact opposite of the Baal Lachas Gedolus. Rabbeinu Chananel Pasek is that the little baby, the Jewish baby, requires a tafas tambris, but the male adult care doesn't require a tafas tambris. Where did he get that from? The Chay Masher Pekel Belongs to Mila, we just read it 5 minutes ago. So, bottom line, we have a Machlekes and Rishonim, which Sugya is the one that's carrying the day? We have a Gemara in Shabbos that seems to indicate that there's no need for a Tavas Tamris for a Ger, he just goes to the mikvah and finished. Yet we have other indications from Sugyas and Yevamos that there really is a requirement for a Tavas Tamris. At the end of the day, it appears to be a Machlekes and Rishonim, a very, very early Mechlekes, even before the Rishonim, the Malach HaGadolus and Rabbeinu Chananel, and the Mechlekes back to the period of the Gaonim, how do you pass the Halacha L'maisa? A non-Jew comes in front of you, he's 25 years old, we see that he's medically circumcised, bottom line, does he require a Tavas Tamris or not? According to the Malach HaGadolus, absolutely yes, and the Pashtus is, that it's Ma'akev, he's not Jewish without it, and according to Rabbeinu Chananel, absolutely not, he goes to the Mikvah and Shoy, he's finished. But Lechora, we have to take this machlokas, this question, one step further. Dr. Belzon already pointed out, assuming that there is such a halacha of hatafas tamris, where in the world did it come from? Where is the source for this hatafas tamris? We have it appearing in Chazal, it's been thrown around in Masechet Yevamos, it's been thrown around in Masechet Shabbos, we've shown them bouncing it around, but we haven't pinpointed where did it come from. Mila, we know where Mila comes from. Ma'avos Seder, Nichnasu, Lebris, etc. Where did hatafas tamris come from? Where does the concept of the Tavas Tamris even begin from? So we take a look at the Rambam in the 6th of the Marmakamos. The Rambam is following in the footsteps of the Baal Lachas Gedolos that if the non-Jew who's converting was already physically circumcised, it's not enough just to let him go to the mikveh. The Rambam is following the Baal Hachas Gedolos' tradition that he requires a Tavis Tamriz, but the Rambam formulates this din of a Tavis Tamriz in somewhat of a strange way. So the Rambam in the 6th of the Mamakomas, in the Rambam Duchas Mila, Perek Afla Chazayin, Ger Shenichlas Akol Yisroel, Chayav Mila Tchila. If a non-Jew wants to convert, he wants to enter into a Kal Yisroel, Chayav Mila Tchila. That in and of itself is a somewhat of a strange lashon. Chayav Mila Tchila, it would sound like the Rambam is trying to highlight the fact that it must be done. That you can't begin to discuss, you can't be that, well, I'll become Jewish today and I'll take care of the Mila next week. It means right now, make sure I get in here before Yom Tov, I want to be ready for Rosh Hashanah, and after Yom Kippur, I'll take care of the Mila. Now, the Rambam is saying, what are you talking about? Yes, it's like Chayav Mila Tchila. You have to be Mal first, you have to be Mal immediately. You can't begin to discuss being a Ger until you're Mal. So the Mila is an absolute prerequisite to the Gerus. But now the Rambam says, the Imal Kishaya Akum, if the person already had a bris mila, i.e. was physically, medically circumcised as a guy, so tzorch ma'atim ben adam bris. So he says, you have to have a tzorch adam bris, biyom shenis gayer. On the day that he converts, he's supposed to have a tzorch adam bris. Now there's something about this Lashon Rambam that's just a little bit strange. He's like contrasting kodem chayav mila tchila, so a very, very powerful Lashon, biyom shenis gayer. It sounds like, when he's having his big party, when he's celebrating his Gerus, so by the way, don't forget to have a Tavis Tamriz. I think you get a little bit of mashmos in the Rambam. And also, there's a change, there's a nuance and a change in the wording of the Rambam. In the first half of the halacha, the Rambam used the word chayav. In the second half of the halacha, the Rambam used the word tzorich. Now, chayav and tzorich have a little bit of a slightly different connotation. Chayav has a much more powerful connotation. Chayav, it's a requirement, it's incumbent upon you, it's an obligation, you can't do without it. Tzorich, in English we translate tzorich means to need, but tzorich is not quite as powerful of a lashon as chayav. Perhaps it's this nuance, a very, very nuanced lashon in the Rambam, where the Rambam is contrasting chayav mila tchila to tzorich la'atip yinei adam bris b'yom shenis gayer, that led, at least to Minchas Chinuch, to the following conclusion. The Minchas Chinuch, in its days, raises the question, where did that Tavis Tamriz come from? We have this Tavis, the new concept called the Tavis Tamriz. We look for it in the Chumash, we don't find it. Even in the Gemara, we have Mechlech Simat Tanoim, where did it come from? What's the whole thing about? So the Minchas Chinuch raises the possibility that maybe the whole thing is the Rabbanim. It means, mid of Torah, either there's Mila or no Mila. If you have an oil, you do Mila. You don't have an oil, so you don't do Mila. So it's a new game called the Tavis Tamriz. For lack of a mokor, says the Minchas Chinuch, maybe the whole thing is only the Rabbanan. How come you can call it the Rabbanan? Which would explain why the Gemara has different sheets about it. When do you need it? When do you don't need it? The Gemara never calls it a tzukim for it. The Gemara never explains what the Nekudas of Machloikas is. The Gemara doesn't really give too much about what the Tanaim are arguing about. It's a Tekon of Achavim, so some Tanaim bought into this Tekon, and others said they're not necessarily have to drive to get crazy for to do a Tavis Tamriz. So the Minchas Chinuch, in discussing the Shaila, whether the Tavis Tamriz is in fact with the Rabbanim, or maybe it's the Raisa, so he writes that Mashma, Miloshin, Rabbanim, Minuchas Mila, that it's only the Rabbanim. I didn't see exactly what he meant. Where's the Mashma? He doesn't tell you where. He says, Ayin, Loshin, Rabbanim, Perek Aleph, Minuchas Mila sounds like it's the Rabbanim. I think that's what Minchas Chinuch was driving at. With these Mashmos, with these nuances in the Rabbanim. Maybe there's a little bit more Mepharish in the Rabbanim, but it sounds just from the simple thing of the Rambam that the Rambam in fact is presenting a Tavis Tamriz, even if it exists. The Rambam is machmir that it exists as only being the Rabbanim, which would cause a very, very serious ramification for us. What that would mean is that even according to the Baal Halachas Gedolos, who says you have to do it, it doesn't mean he's not Jewish without it. It means that he's Jewish, because Midat Torah is Jewish, but you just better make sure to do it. Don't dilly dally, you're supposed to do it, the Rabbanim will be to do it, but bottom line, he's still considered to be Jewish without it. Notwithstanding somewhat of a mashmos, the nuance of the Rambam, and this possibility of the Chassidus raises, the Pashas Advarim in the Poskim is not this way, and the Pashas is already led by the Shulchan Aruch himself. So come to Shulchan Aruch in the 7th of the Maamar Makomos, Shulchan Aruch in Yeridei and Siman Reis Samachesif Aleph. So Shulchan Aruch presents the question, Gersh Nichas Tekar Yisroel Chayav Mila Tchila, so that's the standard halacha that everybody passes like, V'imal Kishay Ovi Kichavim, if he had a Mila when he was a guy, O Shinolad Mo, so the Ramah just throws that in because the Chora, that should be the same, Chora. So Tzorach Lahatim Min Adam Bris. So the Shulchan Aruch says you have to have a Tavis Adam Bris. It sounds like the Shulchan Aruch is passing straight the Hag, no shadows whatsoever. Well, not so simple. Because then the Shulchan Aruch turns around and says, the Ein Mevarchin Alav. But you don't recite a bracha on the Shatafas Tambris, in contrast to a Mila of Geirus. When you have a non-Jew who converts, and he really has an oil, and he really doing the real Makoya of Bris Mila, so then for sure there's a bracha. The Gemara gives a whole bracha in the 19th Parak of Shabbos. Bracha da Shabbat Shekidishalim, it's a lomu la sageyim, hati rem dambris, shabbat dambris, follow the Scottish my vars, and a whole longer Megillah as to what the bracha is for Mila's Geirus. So when you do a real Mila's Geirus that the halacha really requires, so then you have to recite a bracha. Shulchan Aruch goes out of his way to tell you, by the way, don't recite a bracha on this Hatafas Tambris. Why not? Why don't you make a bracha? If you pass the like of the Hag, it's really required, so you should recite a bracha. So what's preventing us from reciting the bracha? So comes the Shach and Eitan Imam Mekomos and says, you know what's preventing us from making a bracha? So the Shach and the Eitan Imam Mekomos in Yeridayas and in Reisa Meches, Sif Aleph, the Shach says, Sif Lahatif Eimavachin, Lefid Misafkaman Imatifin Ilo, because says the Shach, we're not convinced that you really have to do a Tavat Tambris in the first place. Why are we not convinced? Because of the Nechanan, said you don't have to. Because Tais is quoted, the Machlekes of Rishon, Machlekes is two different Gemaras. The Gemara in Shabbos sounds like you don't, the Gemara in Yevamah sounds you do. The Machlekes is Nega'inim, the Rishon, how do you pass in? So the Shekhanah throws his hands up and says, let's make it to Dina. So we don't know what to do. So since according to the Baha'i, you have to do it, so you have to do it. Since according to the Nechanan, you don't have to do it, so we can't let you make a bracha on it. So this is the source of the Pesach of the Shekhanah, that you do it, albeit without a bracha. Because, says the Shachuch, Mishtafik Yesh Vahachim Lahatif, so therefore, mishtafik, we have to do a tafas tambris in deference to the Bahag Shita. But we don't make a bracha. So the marshal, let's say a person doesn't remember that they blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah. So the din is you have to blow over again. Mishtafik. Safi the rice l'chumra. But you don't make a bracha. Safi brachas is l'chumra. There's one opinion Rishonim that maintains that whenever you have to do a bracha, you have to do a mitzvah mishtafik, because safi the rice l'chumra, so you recite a bracha also. Because since the halacha requires you to do the mitzvah over again, so you have to recite a bracha also. So we don't follow that. We paskin that we split the psach between the mitzvah and mitzvah and the bracha. The mitzvah you have to do, but the bracha you don't make. So if the Rambam is correct, if Mechas Chinuch Diet is correct, that a tapas tambris, even if it exists, is only with the Rabbanon, so what do you have to do it for? Why don't we apply the rule of Safik Rabban Lakula? The simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch and the Shach is that we have a real Safik that ice on our hands. We have this non-Jew in front of us. We're not sure whether he's going to be Jewish if he goes to the mikvah. According to the Baha'i, he's not going to be Jewish. So according to the Baha'i, with the Raisi, you have to do it. According to Ben Hanan, you don't have to do it at all. So we throw our hands up and say, do it, misafek, make sure he's Jewish, cover your bases, but don't make a bracha. If the Rambam is right, that the whole Atapas Tambris is only the Rabbanon, and we're not even sure whether you have to do it altogether, so I would say, why bother doing it? You have to make the guy, what, you have to pay the person for nothing? It's a suffix, and a suffix Rabbanon. Let's say a guy doesn't remember whether he shook lulav on the third day Chol HaMoed. So if he doesn't remember whether he shook lulav on the first day of Sukkot, you have to shake over again. Safi derais from the Chumrah. If you don't remember whether he shook lulav on the third day Chol HaMoed, safi derban l'kula. You don't have to. You don't have to shake over again. It's a safi derban l'kula. So from the fact that the Shulchan Aruch and the Shach and the standard psak and halach is that you have to do that tapas tambris because we're very very nervous because if you don't do it, the guy may not be Jewish. If the Bahad is right, the guy's not Jewish. That doesn't sound like the Rambam. It doesn't sound like it's only a Derabbanan. That sounds like it's really a Deraisa. Where does it come from? I don't know. That's exactly a good question. It's Halacha Moshe Sinai. It's hard to believe. The Gemara never says it's Halacha Moshe Sinai. The Hefta Tanan didn't hold from it. It's hard to pin it down in Halacha Moshe Sinai. It's hard to know where the Tanan who accepted it got it from, but it does sound like it's a Shalva Deraisa. So a Kopanim, we really have a double machlokes taking place in front of us. We have the basic fundamental question, is there a din of a tafas tambris b'chlal? The gash and this gash shumaho? And imtum shalom that it is it required by the rais, is it required by the rabbanim? So again, the simple pshat in halacha is that we treat the first shayla as fake of the din, huh? But we assume that that's the real suffering on the level of the rais. So we're not going to accept gerim just like that without a tafas tambris. That's the last thing we want to do, is to accept the gerim without a tafas tambris. The shayla with the rais, shayla with the first even with the evidence considered to be Jewish. But we have to see, what do you do in very unique situations when strange cases come up which make it impossible perhaps to do a bris milah or perhaps make it impossible to even do a tafas tambris? Are there certain situations where we're going to be able to accept segir without neither a bris nor without a tafas tambris? So hopefully next week we'll have to see the continuation of this this father's.